and welcome to episode 68 of the Main Yarn Podcast. Hi, I'm Julie.
And this is Jen.
And we have a very special podcast for you this time around.
We sure do.
Yeah, where we're very excited and fangirly over interviewing a wonderful designer and teacher at the upcoming Knitwit
at the Shores.
I was going to call it the Main Yarn Retreat, but it's kind of that as well. Just not in name. We'll be there.
There will be yarn and it'll be in Maine. So yeah.
Yeah. So it's all of those things. So we're going to start off the podcast. We may as well get right to it, right? We're very excited to interview Laura Nelkin, the amazing Laura Nelkin, designer, knitwear with beads designer extraordinaire,
who, as we said, talked about many times during my projects I work on.
Yes, Jen almost always has a Laura Nelkin project on the needles. So it's very exciting to finally get to speak to her and for me to meet her for the first time, even virtually over video. So let's take a listen to our interview with Laura.
Hi. Now, as we mentioned, we are super excited to have Laura Nelkin with us for this interview. Laura Nelkin, who I talk about all the time on this podcast because I'm in one of her clubs and I'm always making really cool stuff that she designs. So, Laura, do you want to give us just a quick intro to yourself?
Sure, I'd love to. First off, thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm honored. I'm Laura Nelkin. I'm a knitwear designer. I live in upstate New York in the Finger Lakes region. And what I normally say is, to make a super long story short, I moved up here to go to Cornell in like the early 90s and got here and fell in love with the area. And I still haven't left. And I live in a little village called Trumansburg, which is just north of Ithaca on the west side of Cayuga Lake. And it is gorgeous here.
Gorgeous. Ithaca is gorgeous. Yes.
It really is.
The bumper sticker from there. So I went to Ithaca College. We learned that we were both there in the early 90s. I did come home though. And now I moved around a little bit more and now I live in Maine. Well, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. One of the reasons, aside from the fact that I love Laura's patterns, is that she's going to be coming to the retreat. So we thought we'd introduce her to all the retreat goers here if you haven't heard from her yet or has done any of her patterns. So we wanted to bring her in. And you want to just start off by telling us what you're going to be teaching this summer?
Sure. I am very excited, first off, to be invited to the retreat, because if anybody's been following me for a while, they know I love to camp and I love to be outside and I love to knit when I camp. So when I saw this retreat, I think you asked me last year and I already had trip that weekend, I was like, please ask me again, because that just is like, I don't teach live as much as I used to. And I tend to choose to teach at the things that I think sound really fun. And this was one of those things. So at the retreat, I'm teaching two classes. I'm teaching beginning knitting with beads. I call it like beading 101. It's everything that you need to know for knitting with beads. I think a lot of people, Jen, maybe you included, before you ever knit with beads, thought it was like magic and too hard and like maybe fussy and, you know, just kind of next level knitting. And when you took that beginning class with me that I did with the shop during the pandemic, I think we did that Zoom class, you found out how easy it is to knit with beads. It's quite, I break it down. I will teach everybody what yarns are great, depending on what technique you're using for working with beads, how to buy beads, because not all beads are created equal. I will say that you all in Portland are lucky because you have the mothership of beads, Caravan Beads, in Portland, Maine. So I'll certainly be going there probably on my way to the retreat, and then I'll have regrets about something I didn't buy and I'll stop on the way back as well. So I'm already planning two visits there.
Awesome.
So we'll go over all of that. And what I find with that class is, I would say 95% of people leave that class feeling confident that they could knit more than one project with different techniques using beads and have success and have fun and see like what a great way it is to kind of highlight the architecture of your stitches and give a little weight to your projects.
Yeah, I love knitting with beads. And one of the reasons I love your projects that come every quarter and throw me off my my things I plan to knit game.
Sorry.
Okay. I have so many things, and it's just so much fun to cast on something new. I've got the latest one.
Oh, right. The Laxo socks. Yeah. And then those didn't have beads. And then I was like, that stitch wants beads so badly. So I I did the little cuff pattern so that beads in there.
I was leaving for a trip and this came like that day. And I'm like, oh, I can't just bring it along on a trip. I need to like think about something and pick my needles and all that good stuff. So it's still in the bag, but beautiful colors.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
I had a question about beading, actually. So since we're on that topic, which was, you seem to have a love for beading, which now doesn't seem like a very insightful statement, but when I wrote it, it was. But can you tell us a bit about how you caught the beading bug? When did that start and what kind of drew you to using beads?
Sure. That's a very good question. So when I was a teenager, I was doing a lot of seed bead work. Like, I didn't knit when I was a teenager, but I did a lot of very intensive, should have grabbed something to show you, like peyote stitch. I would like cover jars with peyote stitch. I might have covered a lighter or two with peyote stitch. I made these like big necklaces, wrapped crystals, did all the peyote stitch I could kind of, I'd made those fringe earrings, tons of earrings. I actually tried to make some last winter and I was like, oh, my eyesight is not what it used to be when I was 18. Because I was using like size 11 and size 15 teeny tiny beads. And now I use like size 6 and 8, which are bigger. So I did bead work. And then fast forward a bunch of years when I learned how to knit, one day I saw a scarf that Sivia Harding designed that had beads in it. And I was like, you can put beads on knitting. Like, I can take this thing that was a passion that I kind of stopped doing because I wasn't, it was just time for some new creative outlet. And then this new thing I was doing, and I kind of combined them together. And I will say, I do not design everything with beads. Like, this is, I'm holding up a sweater right now that I recognize people who are listening can't see it. I don't put beads on everything. Like, this sweater is like a warm winter sweater. It doesn't get beads, right? But I do put beads on most things that I knit. I would say like maybe 70% of things I knit end up getting some kind of bead on them.
That's great. What was I going to say? Oh, we were talking about the clubs and the things that I receive every quarter. Do you want to tell us about those for our listeners?
Sure. Except I also didn't say the second class I was teaching.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're just...
Oh, no, it's fine. I just realized that. The second class I'm teaching is a mystery cuff. So I'm going to design a piece of jewelry for the retreat. Everybody will get to knit that together at the retreat. And my vision for that is, it's very fun to say, take process classes, like knitting classes where you learn, but it's also fun to take what you've learned and then knit a product. And camping feels a little bit like summer camp, right? Yeah. So my idea is kind of like make friendship bracelets. So I think that the cuff will end up being something that once people wrap their brain around how to do it, they'll be able to knit more than one very easily. I'm going to try and do some kind of like mix and match color thing so people can have a good time, like using their creativity to kind of create their own combination of beads and yarn color. I think it's going to be really, really fun. So yeah. I know the image I used for that class was just like a sneak peek of all the other cuffs I've ever designed. And it was fun for me to like look back at all the cuffs that have happened and be like, what am I going to do for the retreat? And I know that I'm going to keep it easy because I know, like, if we're sitting around a campfire, kind of like laughing a lot, I'm not going to do double-sided lace with beads for a cuff.
There is a lot of laughing at the retreat.
I like a lot of laughing. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. We have got an amazing group of teachers. So, and just to kind of go off topic a little bit again, when we had last year, like I did ask you last year and you were busy, and I went and found 3 other teachers and they were all amazing. And they all asked to come back. They were having so much fun and I loved having them. So I'm like, oh my goodness, now what am I going to do? I wanted to invite Laura this year and they all want to come back and they had such good chemistry. So I'm like, well, what the heck? We're going to add 4th this year. And we're going to take it up to the next level. So it's an awesome group. We have
excellent.
Really
good. I'm excited. Some of the teachers I've met Squidney Quickly before, but everybody else I've met at other retreats. So it'll be great fun to reconnect and make new friends. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Should I segue into clubs?
Yeah, let's do clubs.
Okay. So a fair number of years ago, what I found as I was knitting with beads is that people were pretty overwhelmed, like finding the yarn that was right for knitting with beads, finding beads, matching color. It's very hard to hold your yarn up to a computer screen. And most people don't have amazing bead stores to go to like match their yarn to beads, or they don't quite know what to buy. So they end up buying a bead that they're not happy with in their final project. So I started making kits. And then as I started making kits, I was like, you know, it would be really fun to do a project where I have a club where every other month I send out a new kit and then we all knit a project together. So Lola's Choice, which is my small knitted kit club, is going into, I think it's going into its fifth or sixth year right now. I send out 6 kits a year. So membership goes a few different ways. You can sign up and get a 6 kit membership. And then for those 6, for 12 months, you'll get a kit every other month. You can do a 3 kit membership. So that's like 6 months worth of kits, one every other month. Or you can do recurring where you get charged right before the kits ship. And then you can kind of like cancel that at any point.
That's the club I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every other month, little kits. And they're so much fun.
So much fun. Mm-hmm. And I have a great time designing. One of my like big design mandates is I like to teach through design. Like if I think about a thing when I'm designing, I like to really have just some nugget that is what I'm teaching. So that January kit you held up was like teaching a toe-up sock. And we have a pretty nice video studio upstairs in my daughter's bedroom since she went to college. So we've been using that and making tutorials for patterns that I feel really great about, where I feel like people can really see what I'm doing. I'm really able to explain different steps and then support people along the way. So kind of like helping people become independent, better knitters through the use of video.
Yeah, I really liked that about the one you did with the Manchalopi. Is that what it was called? That was the sweater you held up for us.
Yeah.
I've never did with that kind of, what did you call it? Just a unspun?
Yeah, I know I'm showing you guys, but I realize this is it's a cake of yarn that is unspun Manchalopi. It's very similar to Icelandic Lopi, but it is made with fleece from the Mancha sheep in the La Mancha region of Spain. So it is much softer than Lopi. It's got a higher micron count and it's quite comfortable against the skin, or lower micron count, sorry.
And I'm considering getting that one for my shop too soon.
Yeah, and just to clarify, sometimes I say cake and I mean just a little skein of yarn that I have wound up. I just want to clarify, the cake that you showed was like full on birthday cake size.
Yeah, I think if you think like cheese wheel, right? Sometimes they're called wheels. Yeah. And since it's like from the La Mancha region. So for that kit, because I included this big wheel of yarn, I included a recipe for making smoked paprika cheese crackers.
Yeah.
And I included some smoked paprika from Spain. So it was like a Spanish themed kit. And then we had a Zoom with the yarn makers, with Wool Dreamers, and they told us about the process of making the yarn and where the yarn was from and what they're doing in Spain. So it had that like educational component, which was kind of fun for me. I didn't know. I knew more after that Zoom than I knew before, for sure.
And I wouldn't have known even how to knit with it, because it is so fragile coming off of that cake or wheel.
Yeah, it just kind of pulls apart.
So I did
a whole video that's up on my YouTube channel that teaches how to work with Manchalopi and like tips and tricks for having success with it.
My husband calls it
spit knitting, because you're constantly like placing the sections together.
I found that as long as you unroll it before you knit it, as long as you don't just pull along.
Yeah.
I find that tinking was a little harder.
Yeah, tinking is a little harder. It's doable. One thing I found, what I love about knitting is I am constantly learning, right? So when I shoot a video, I don't shoot in that style of like, I am the expert, this is the knowledge, we're done, right? It was my road, my way or the highway kind of thing. That's not my style. So I always say in my videos, if you have a tip or trick, I'd love to hear it. And someone in the context on the YouTube video said that she learned to pull it from the inside of the cake instead of the outside of the cake.
Oh my goodness.
And that works beautifully.
Really?
Because there's less tension. It's not like pulling on the outside of the cake. So she's just pulling from the inside. And the other thing that does is introduce just a little bit of spin to the roving.
Yeah.
So it adds just like a little bit of tensile strength as you're pulling it out of there.
Huh.
I know.
Cool.
Who knew?
Who knew?
So you have another club too, right?
I do. I have a second club called the N Club, and I'm on the fifth year of the N Club. And before that, I had a club called the M Club, and there was five years of that year. And the N Club is a bigger project club. It's actually a smaller club in that there's only 3 kits a year. So there's 3 designs a year and 3 kits. That has a private Facebook group that has like detailed video tutorials. It's a little more of a intimate experience. And those projects tend to be more challenging. And it's for people who like to really have their minds blown a little bit and expand their knowledge about knitting and kind of tackle something that if they saw the photo of it ahead of time, they might be like, oh, that's pretty. I'm not doing that. But if you get it in, you know, you get it in the mail and then you have a group that's all knitting it together, I find that people end up tackling something that they didn't know they could do and having success around it. So there's always lace in there. This year, there'll definitely be some brioche in 2023. And the big difference between the two clubs is that Lola's Choice is just like rolling admissions, if you will, or rolling enrollment, versus the N Club is only open for a limited window. So it's open right now and it closes probably beginning of March, if not sooner. I know I only have so many spots left and then that's closed for the year.
Okay. So sweater size projects in that club?
They are all accessories. Good question. Because sweaters get difficult because we're all different sizes, right? So it's really hard to like figure out ahead of time what yarns I'm using and how much I would need for each size. So they're all accessories and there tends to be like one shawl, one scarf, one cowl, like not always, but kind of. Sometimes there's mitts. Yeah. Switches up a little bit. Sometimes it'll be like a coordinating set.
But that kind of size item.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds great.
And how can people sign up?
If you go to my website, nelkindesigns.com, and click on clubs or just search like Nelkin Club. We try to make it easy, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't choose like a name that's different than my name because I find that can make things more challenging. I tried to just like keep it very simple early on.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a great name for knitting. I don't know what Nelkin means, but it sounds like it means like a little something.
So Nelke in German means carnation.
Yes. Okay.
So
it could be Nelk. So I speak German. I guess if you changed Nelkin, it could be a little carnation, but it would be spelled differently.
Right.
Whereas the K-I-N is usually, you know, English, like jerkin and... There's a lot of words that end like that.
But yeah, with that little kin on the end.
Yeah. Maybe it's like some Anglo-Saxon. Oh, very interesting. Gonna have to look that up. Yes. And a Nelke. Very nice. And I'm going to picture a carnation every time.
Totally. Think of me. Think of a carnation.
Awesome.
Great.
So one of your clubs was, Lola's Choice. Who's Lola?
Oh, good one. Lola is my alter ego. So I believe everybody should have an alter ego because when you make a mistake or you forget the scheduled lunch when you said you'd be on a podcast, you can just blame your alter ego. Like she forgot to put it in the calendar, right?
Okay.
I think it's a slippery slope to having, you know, just 2 personalities all the time. So I'm careful with it. But so Lola, my roommate from boarding school had a son when I was 19 and I took care of him a lot and hung out with him and he couldn't say Laura. So he called me Lola. So it kind of stuck from his very young age. And I've been Lola to, you know, most of my older friends that I've had for a while kind of call me Lola. They don't call me Laura. It's like a term of endearment.
So that's another one that we talked about before with Squidney. So Squidney.
Yeah.
Sydney Craybar, she's called Squidney because that's what her brother used to call her. Yeah, it was a nickname when she was little. And my nickname when I was little was Wooly, which is my Ravelry and Instagram name handle. It was the same thing. My brother couldn't pronounce my name when he was very little because J is hard to say for anyone, really. So I was Wooly. But I like that your name is another, a little boy, right? A child.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a nod to our childhoods for sure. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. When did you learn to knit?
So I didn't actually learn to knit until 2004. When I went to Cornell, I went to Cornell for apparel design, and I did a lot of weaving and dyeing in college. Mm-hmm. So I was weaving on like 32 harness compu-dabi looms. Like I was doing some really fun weaving. It was quite intense. Learning like interior design fabric. I was sewing a lot. And at one point in that, I tried to learn how to knit and it didn't really take, which was funny considering what I was doing with yarn at the time, or thread actually, right? And then I was weaving and dyeing after I was done with college, and I worked in the apparel industry. And then after I had my daughter, I had a very hard time being at the dye pots and being at the loom. And one day at a play date, one of her friend's moms was like, "Do you want to knit?" And I was like, "I really want to do something," because knitting, we know knitting's portable, right?
Yeah.
Looms, huge looms, not very portable.
Yeah.
And it's also really hard to like stop mid like treadle sequence to save somebody from hitting their head on the corner of a table, you know? So I was very frustrated creatively, and it came at just the right time, and it clicked right away.
That's great.
Cool. All right. So that kind of maybe, I mean, you were designing interior fabrics and interior designs, but how did you get into designing knitting then from there?
So I wasn't so much as I was like playing around with designing interior fabrics. And then after college, I ended up doing a bunch of interviewing, and I really wanted to stay in Ithaca. And I ended up getting a job with Angel Heart Designs, which was Flax, which is like this linen clothing that a lot of people remember from like the 90s and the 80s. It was very big then. I feel like it's coming back around right now. And then, so I had a bunch of experience in the apparel industry is what I'm trying to say. And then once my daughter was a little older and going to school, there was a yarn company about 6 miles from me on back roads called Schaefer Yarn Company, which was actually one of the first hand-painted yarn companies. And I went over there like, can I dye yarn? I know how to dye. Can I, you know, wind it? I just like wanted to like go be with yarn all the time. And Cheryl chatted with me and she was like, "I want your brain. Like, I don't, you know, like you can dye a little if you want to learn how to do that, but that's not really what I need you for." So that first meeting we had, she was like, "Do you want to design a sweater?" And I had like, you know, followed a few patterns, and I certainly had taken grading classes at like I knew how to do patterns, but not knitting. And I just was like, lied and was like, sure. I wasn't really lying. I was like, sure, I'd love to design a sweater. I'd like never done that before. And I just figured it out, you know, and I got a lot of help along the way. I ended up working there as their design director for like 5 years, which was awesome. I just had got tons of experience. I got to go to lots of wholesale shows, learn a lot about the industry, learn a lot about designing. My job there was to design things to sell their yarn, which is a very specific job that most design directors, that is their job, right? To help a yarn company sell yarn. So they're looking at like what trends are, what they think people want to be knitting, and then coming up with patterns that will help sell more yarn. So that was my job there.
Great.
It was awesome.
So now that you don't have that restriction anymore, what do you like to design?
I like to design kind of twofold. Sometimes I like to design something that I'm missing in my wardrobe. Mm-hmm. So I'll design partially because I think people are like drawn to my fashion style, right? So there's something that I'm really missing and I want to have. My gut is that somebody else might feel the same way as me. So that's like one pathway of what I design. The next pathway is like, to teach, right? If I'm aware of with clubs, we haven't done color work in a while, I'll look at what I've designed lately and be like, oh, we haven't done a headband in a while, we haven't done color work in a while, maybe I'll dive into that. Or we haven't done like double-sided lace with beads and brioche in a hot minute, it's time for that. And I'm always looking at like what do I want to learn? And then how can I incorporate that teaching into the design? So right now with Laxo socks, for example, I've been kind of doing a deep dive into all the different needles one could use for knitting socks, which it turns out there's like more and more on the market, right? Like it used to be you did double points or you did magic loop, or maybe you did two at a time on circulars. Right. So now you've got your 9-inch circs, which I don't have them right here, but the 9-inch circ, so are you finding that your hands cramp when you knit with the 9-inch circ?
It's a 12-inch actually.
That's a 12-inch.
Yeah.
12-inch for adults, like 9-inch for kids, I would say.
Right.
I converted Jen to the 12-inch, right? Would you say?
Yeah. No, Julie taught how to make custom socks class for us. And I think that was the part that confused people is you said, well, depending on which one you like, and then you told them how to do all the methods.
I was worried people were going to like,
information, but I think it got a little overload.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I feel very strongly myself about 12-inch circulars, but I've met a lot of people who are like, oh, no, I won't do that. Or I'm worried my hands will cramp up.
And then, you know, the other ones are like the Addy Flexi.
Yeah.
Right? And I haven't tried the 12. So I have the 9-inch now. I know Chowgu has like an interchangeable shorty set.
Love that.
Where you can do a 3-inch on one side and a 2-inch on the other side so that your right hand has like a little bit more of a needle to hold on to.
Yeah.
So like I've been learning with everybody as I'm like, what are all our choices for knitting socks, right?
I should say I have size 10 feet. So maybe for me, 12 inches is always the right size. If you have very delicate, beautiful feet, unlike mine, maybe you need
I wish people could see me shaking my head no as you say that.
No, I have 13s. So yeah, we both have rather large feet and.
Right. So like, I think a 12-inch for me wouldn't work. So I have a size 7 foot, right? So it's definitely smaller in diameter. It's about 8 inches around. So that would be really stretching the circumference of it.
Right. But I feel like it would still, I think we need to have a discussion about like how much of the tip of the needle is contributing to the this could get very technical.
I know, which is why I've heard that 2-inch, 3-inch thing working with the shorties, the best of both worlds. What I've been finding right now, I could go grab it and show you, but you know how sometimes you can turn when you're working in the round, you can turn your knitting to the inside instead of to the outside. So I'm actually finding if I turn the toe inside out and I'm working like on the back side, right side of the work, that it's easier because the fabric isn't getting in the way and I'm not trying to like crunch it out of the way. So it's making it, the knitting go more smoothly.
When I get to and of course I almost always do top down or my personal top down ankle socks. And then I pick up and go up. That's how I do my socks right now. But when I'm doing my top down socks getting to the toe, I will say I switched to 2 12-inch circulars or to one, you know, whatever size, I guess, but 12-inch works for me.
Right. Yeah. And that's where those like those flexi tips can work as well, I think.
Right.
Yeah. But so like, that's a deep dive for me, right? Like socks, we've all knit, most of us have knit socks. Some people in the club, it's their first socks. But I was like, how can we take the conversation so we're still learning and still wanting to buy more needles? Yeah. Like I thought I was done, you know, and I totally like, now I suddenly have all the Chowgu shorty needles. That's kind of like the thing this winter.
Yeah, those have been going fast this year from the shop. They've been really popular. So I've got all 3 sets and I love them. And I wish they made an even bigger one because I use them for sleeves too, which makes sleeves go so much faster. And I'm doing a really chunky sweater and I need a size 13 and it doesn't go up to size 13. So when I get there, I'm going to have a new dilemma. Try to figure out how I'm going to do the sleeves.
Yeah, except I guess if you're knitting on 13s, it's going really quick anyway. Yes, so
it's true. I still don't like double points though. I get a little laddery.
Well, right.
Two circulars all the time.
Two circles, yeah.
Yeah, you could do magic loop.
Probably.
I like two circulars, but not magic loop, just because it's fiddly. Yeah.
Right.
I'm making a hat right now, so it's
nice. That's beautiful. What yarn is that?
This is Madeline Tosh. Nice. From Jen. And it is by Vincent Williams. It is an unpronounceable name. Hold on. Zanaya hat. It does say Zanaya, and then it spells out my last name as the pronunciation in the middle of that word.
Okay.
It's Madeline Tosh, and it is the Madeline Tosh Vintage Superwash Merino, and it's very, very soft.
Nice. I love it.
And I make a lot of hats. So I'm like, I don't need a hat. I'm like, I absolutely do need a hat. I have a 2-year-old dog who keeps chewing apart my hand hat. And I keep telling myself it's okay because I can just pick up and make a new brim or something. But have I done it? No.
No.
Anyway, that was a long digression, but I think it's very interesting that the technical side in our podcast, we try to have a technical section whenever we feel like getting very techie. So love that.
I love it. I can nerd out for a while. Happy to nerd out.
We're going to have so much fun this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Can you tell us about first of all, we've spoken to other designers and I know it's tough. You're always working on your own things, but when you get a chance to, do you get a chance to work on other people's designs? And if so, which designers do you love? You know, which designers have you seen come up with stuff that you really want to make or that inspires you?
That's fun. That's a fun question. So I do knit other people's patterns. It tends to be like maybe one a year. And I just finished a sweater for my husband, the Fraser Fur Pullover by Kirsten Kapoor, which is a top-down color work yoke. And I did like Spin Cycle and Harrisville Nightshades. And I did the yoke on a camping trip. No problem with a men's color work yoke. That's a blast. And then it took me like a year and a half to knit the rest of the black body and sleeves of a men's sweater. And it was really good, like pick it up and put it down knitting, right? Like it eventually got done. It felt like a slog along, but also when I finally decided like, I just need to finish this, I finished it, right? I just kind of had to settle into it and do it. So it's a luxury to knit other people's patterns. I'm constantly like saving something on Ravelry that I think looks really interesting. I like to see what knitters I've never heard of before are doing. I think there's some really interesting stitches that I've seen lately coming out of like some Russian Instagram accounts and Polish and Turkish Instagram accounts, just like with a stitch that will kind of inspire me. Like I think the stitch I did on Lemmy hat and sock and cowl and peds, that was like a 4 series, that was a stitch that I saw from a Turkish Instagram account that, you know, the stitch isn't written up anywhere. She just kind of like shows it in this like 30-second video. And then I played around and kind of came up with my own version of that. And then I put beads on it. So kind of like finding inspiration and, you know, now we're back in the world, but for a while there when we were home, it was like the internet was the source of inspiration or like books I had on the shelf or my own brain. And now I'm kind of getting back to like finding new nuggets out in the world, which I missed doing, but, you know, managed to make it work. I don't feel like I can really like call out any designers in particular because there's so many amazing ones, but I will totally like save and favorite things on Ravelry. So they're all in my like save folder on Ravelry, which is public for anybody to look at.
Right. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I know we hear that from a lot of designers that they really, you know, there's so much that they want to do, but of course it's also your job, right? So you feel like you have to be working on your own designs because that's the job.
Yeah, that's the job. I know recently I released a like an advent calendar collection in December, and I did two different designs with the Emma's Yarn Small Days sets. Mm-hmm. And one of them's hanging behind me, Delight. And then the other one was called Deluxe, which is a a Schlanket that starts with a square in the center that is modularly knit. It's like a very modern quilt square. And when I did one of them, I was like, this would be an amazing blanket if I knit four more of them and then connected them all together with this other crazy modular thing. And I actually have the yarn to do a blanket, but I know that I don't have the time as much as I want to. So with a few people who were knitting the deluxe, they were like, I want to make this a blanket. So I'm working with them, and I wrote it all up, and they're all like testing the pattern make sure it works. And I like bought their extra yarn for them as like a way of like, hopefully we can make this good with some of them. Cause you know, it's asking a lot for somebody to test for me when they might have to rip back if my math didn't work, but I think we're looking good. I've got the first two people on that blanket and it's looking fabulous. So
great.
Working together.
It's like you're knitting vicariously through them. At least somebody's knitting.
I know. I'm so excited to see it. I got a photo today and I was like, well, that proof of concept worked. I was like really hoping, you know, the more you design and knit, the little bit more I can kind of visualize. Like when I did the squares for Deluxe, it certainly had to happen on my needles. There's no way that could have been written. And I knit and ripped it multiple times. But the blanket, it's the same concept. So I was like, okay, I think I can write it.
Yeah.
And then I think it'll come out looking like I think it will.
That's fun. That's great. All right. Well, I think that's all I had. Julie, did you have anything else?
I think we've covered it. I think, yeah, we covered my questions. Although I'm sure we'll have plenty more by the time we get to the retreat.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Can I do a tiny plug for something since I know this is coming out around Knit for Food time?
Of course.
Yeah. So one thing that we did the first one in 2021 and the second in 2022. It's a knit-a-thon. It's a 12-hour knitting marathon called Knit for Food Knit-a-thon that raises funds for food insecurity and awareness in the U.S. And the money we raise gets split between four organizations: Feeding America, World Central Kitchen, No Kid Hungry, and Meals on Wheels. And in 2021, we raised $265,000. And in 2022, we raised $271,000. And we just set this year's date for March 26th, 2023. So if people want to sign up to be part of the knit-a-thon, it's like signing up to do a marathon, right? You're committing to knit for 12 hours on this one day. We have Zoom programming on and off throughout the day to like educate about food insecurity and hunger in America, and also like with stretches and yoga and whatever. And awesome. Then you send your link when you sign up to your friends and family who you know you've knit for over the years. And you basically tell them, you know, that hat I knit you, turns out there were strings attached. Can you sponsor me in my knit-a-thon? Yeah. I mean, I find that knitters are really generous people. So it's like it's an opportunity to do something fabulous with your needles. And it's made a really big change in the world. And it feels, you know, sometimes that when we do what we do, I'm like, what am I doing? Right? Like, how is this helping? I know it helps people personally, but the knit-a-thon has become an action that is really like concrete and makes a change in people's lives. And yeah. I'm thrilled to be doing it again with my team.
And how do we sign up?
So sign-ups are going to open on February 2nd.
Okay.
And if you go to my website and click on knit-a-thon, or you search Knit for Food Knit-a-thon, it will pop right up. If you follow me on Instagram, I am very loud about it when it's happening.
All right.
And on Instagram, are you at Laura Nelken?
Yeah.
Great. And then give us your website address again, just to be sure.
NelkenDesigns.com.
NelkenDesigns.com. Great.
I just want to say thank you for meeting with us. This has been so much fun.
Yes.
Thank you
so much. It's really a great pleasure to meet you. I've heard all about you, and I've been vicariously watching Jen making all of this fun. So
excellent. It's great to meet you. And I look forward to meeting you in real life, Julie, and getting to hang out with you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
It's going to be very fun.
All right. Great. Well, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
That was so much fun, really. I can't get enough of chatting with her. We are going to have an amazing time this summer.
I know, and you may have enabled me to join one of Laura's clubs.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sorry I didn't do it personally. It took bringing her in to get it done.
It's always on my mind.
Yeah.
I'll report back on all of that. And we have a special giveaway this month.
Laura has been super generous and is giving away one of her Laxo socks and cuff kits. This is the kit we talked about here that just came out. I got it right before my last trip. So it makes a pair of socks and a cuff to play with beads because, you know, why not?
In case you don't have a lot of socks going, in fact, you lack so socks, then this is an awesome gift. Even if you have so many skeins of sock yarn that you can't put the container back in its cubby, which might be my problem right now.
You could get this free set, which includes includes this cone of yarn. So it's a little different.
Nice.
It comes on a cone. It is made in Italy.
So yeah, is this like bright greens and yellows?
Oh, I was trying to get you to say that.
Len du Nord. It's made in Italy. It's a French name.
Okay. Meaning
yarns of the north.
Ah. Made in Italy. And the website it comes from has a .it at the end. So I would think that's from Italy.
Yeah.
Watercolor sock yarn. Ooh, it says it makes two identical socks. Very cool. So I think it's wound down there to make two. Yeah, it's sort of a rainbow color. It goes from yellow to green to blue to purples.
It's
not the whole rainbow, but
yeah,
it's cool fade.
I can see the yellow green and identical. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. And I have not downloaded the pattern yet because, like I said, I was on vacation, but I'm going to do that when we're done recording. I wasn't on vacation. It felt, it was work, but it felt like I was traveling.
Stop showing off. You were away for work and it felt like vacation.
It was exhausting, but it was fun. It was good.
Great.
It comes with this cone of yarn. It comes with some size 6 seed beads, a class super floss, and Lola's favorite new hot beverage. So she always includes something fun in there.
That's very nice.
So
very cool. It's a very cool prize package. I'm very jealous, but I am not eligible. So please, everybody, enter. And what would we like them to do to enter?
I will create on Ravelry a page for this giveaway. And we talked a little bit when we started getting techno about all the different ways to make socks. So tell us, what is your favorite method? What needle configuration is your favorite to make socks? And if you've never made socks before, that's perfectly okay. You can either tell us which one sounds most interesting, or just tell us you've never made socks and why you want to start now.
Yeah, why you want to start with this amazing prize, which will help you start your socks.
Yes, and because Laura does some great tutorial videos, so I'm sure this one is no different, and you will learn something new, regardless of your sock knitting history.
Yeah, no, it's correct.
That's sort of the word I wanted, like, experience.
Yes, maybe sock knitting experience. Sock knitting history made it sound interesting.
Yes, well, it is interesting, but experience is what I meant.
It is. So, yes, please, amazing giveaway this month. We'll be very happy to draw the winner and see who wins it next time around. So please enter away. And until then,
happy knitting.
Happy knitting, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.